is Jim Stark. Jim is retired from the USGS, and his retirement job is working for the Legislative Water Commission, which doesn't sound super retired to me.
Good morning, and thank you. I don't know how I follow that now. I think we're all in a different place than we were a little while ago on the interstate coming in here. So as I thought about what I'm going to show you this morning, this is what I was struck with. And I'd like you to think about this as we watch this video clip this morning about groundwater. And it's really about the more things change, in some ways, the more they are the same. I thought I'd start out with a joke this morning, and I thought about that last night, and I, as Ellen did, I Googled around, and there's just darn little out there in terms of groundwater jokes. So I think we've got to lighten up a little bit as a community, because there's just not much out there, and the ones that are there are long and really bad. So I made one up on the way in, but then I decided I know there'd be a groan, so I'm going to wait until the end, see how much time we have. Maybe somebody out there knows a good groundwater joke, and if they do, you can share that with us. Otherwise, I'll share mine with you. But I would say that I worked in the word aquatartifer for Dr. Runkel. So it has that word in the joke, and we'll see how that works out. But I'd like you to think a bit, if you can imagine this problem statement coming by your screen as you turn your computer on in the morning. It goes as follows. Water use in our state is increasing rapidly, and diverse interests are developing among users. Development of groundwater for irrigation is increasing, and conflicts are arising between irrigators and sports enthusiasts interested in maintaining streams for trout habitat. Many of these conflicts are due to misunderstandings about the interrelations between groundwater and surface water and the magnitude of the effect of groundwater withdrawals on stream flow. Due to conflicts like this, we need a better understanding of how groundwater and surface water interact. Laws governing the development of water resources need to be examined because state laws and policy do not recognize the interrelations between surface and groundwater. So does that sound like something you might see? Well, it does. And however, this problem statement came and resulted in a study in 1959 in Wisconsin. And it actually resulted in what were called water supply papers, which were kind of the best of what the USGS had to offer in terms of publications about water. So I just want to ask, and I'll be kind here, how many of you were not born in 1959? If you'd raise your hands, please. So most of you in the room weren't here when this study took place. This study was in central Wisconsin. It was a large effort by the state of Wisconsin and the USGS. It resulted in a film which documented the work. And I'm going to show you a part of that film. It was about 35 minutes long. I had to cut it back considerably to make it work here today. I want to thank the folks, Ellen and the folks at Barr, for helping me do that. So a couple of things to think about. This film, by the way, was used extensively for training throughout the USGS for many years. But the work that was done for this study was done, as you might imagine, in 1959, before computers were readily available, before digital models were available to analyze groundwater systems. And as Jenny Leet would say, it was sort of a study of a giant physical model. So keep that in mind. The film's been edited significantly, so it's a little jumpy. And the editing resulted in it being kind of pixelated. So it's a little bit psychedelic. Maybe that follows well after Chris, maybe calmed us down. If that's a problem for you, maybe just close your eyes and listen because the audio is okay. Okay, so as we sit back and watch this, just think about, write down a list of things that are really different than they would be today and a list of things that are kind of alike. John?
Water is plentiful in Wisconsin at the present time. However, it is being more and more widely used in the home, in the factory, and on the farm. Demand by hunters, fishermen, and boaters for recreational use is also increasing rapidly. As the population increases and their standard of living improves, water requirements will expand greatly, and the supply of pure water will become more and more critical. Thus, it is essential that we learn to manage our water resources so that supplies of pure water will be available to support the activities of future generations. The information from the pumping test also enables us to calculate the effects that pumping wells have on each other, and thus predict the distance that wells should be spaced in order to prevent undue interference of one well with another. We can now also predict what effect groundwater withdrawals from wells at different locations will have on stream flow. Thus, we now know the hydrologic system under natural conditions, and we have the information to predict changes in this system caused by artificial withdrawals. Although the present study was developed to help solve particular problems in a particular environment, it demonstrates the basic techniques that are used and the basic facts that must be collected and interpreted in order to appraise our water resources. Water management is a business, and just like any other business, we must inventory our total assets and balance our expenditures against our receipts. With this knowledge, the development of the water resources may be planned to obtain the fullest measure of benefit for all.
Okay, I hope you like the soundtrack. So as you looked at that, what were you struck with? A couple of things I was struck with first off was there were no women in this film that I could see. So if you look around the room here today, some things really have changed. And if you look closely, a lot of the people in the field were smoking. And I don't see anyone here smoking today. So those have changed. This was kind of a study of a large physical model. And I think all of the people in the film were probably engineers or geologists, highly expensive and skilled crew, something you wouldn't probably see today. The instrumentation was very different. Almost all of the instruments and recorders that you saw in this film wouldn't be used today. There was a lot of infrastructure, the flumes and the pipes and the weirs and everything that was put in took a lot of work. It was a very large project. There weren't any cell phones, so you notice they had a runner to run back information to the pump guy. So no cell phones, no texting, nobody had earbuds in. And if you may have noticed, there was about a 6-second clip of the importance of aquatic ecology on studies like this. So you probably all missed that, but there was a biologist in there for just a couple of seconds. So that's changed, I think. But in all, there are some similarities. Given what was done here, it's very similar to what we would today be done using probably models to help us with the analysis. And finally, I was struck by the fact that the ultimate objective of this was to understand the hydrologic budget, the water bank account that we have, to be able to be used on a sustainable basis. So thank you, and any comments or questions? It's kind of the direct analogy of the Straight River here in Minnesota. So it's been being looked at for years and years. Anybody got a good joke? Okay, thank you very much.